broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Well, welcome everybody to this week's episode of Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Excited to be here with you on another beautiful fall day. Yes, it's fall. It's football season. Some of you have been catching some football games, and so you may even be catching this recorded on iTunes, and that's okay. But for those of you listening live, we're here every week, 7 p.m. Eastern on biztalkradio.com and across the country on 14 different AM stations. Welcome to all of you that are listening live, driving down the road, maybe on a late commute on the East Coast, a little early commute on the Pacific side. But thanks for being here. And of course, you can always access our show on refreshyourwealth.com or on iTunes. And we're here just trying to live the dream, saving taxes, building wealth, protecting your assets. And without any further ado, I want to welcome my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. I'm excited for the topic. It's a pretty cool topic, one that I know a lot of business owners, people who are real estate investors are very interested in, and that is protecting the corporate veil. One of the primary legal protections of having a business or incorporating, having an LLC, is the corporate veil. We're going to talk about that today and make sure that that protection you may think you're getting, that you actually have. We're going to give some practical tips and maybe some disaster stories of doing it the wrong way to try and steer you in the right direction.
Well, yeah, I'm sure this is what the show Bernie Madoff should have listened to back in the day, you know, how to get some protection for the corporate. You blew it, you know. So yeah, there's definitely things you want to be doing so that your corporation protects you. Not that he could have gotten away with anything when you commit fraud, which we'll come to, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he could have had the strongest corporate veil out there. And if you have fraud, you can't hide behind that, nor any criminal activity, obviously. But
yeah, so we'll get into that, you know.
Yeah,
it's going to be exciting. But here's the point for all of us out there. And I like what Matt said, practical tips. So we're all about takeaway points and action items so that when you're listening here, and we know many, many of you have different businesses and a variety of industries. Our listeners cover a wide spectrum of entrepreneurs. So whether it's real estate to manufacturing to import, export to service companies, protecting the veil is an important practical step or procedure you got to follow all the time so that your company is protecting you. So good topic. Should be good.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us think, oh, my company will never get sued, or my LLC with rental properties, I'll never have a liability. I beg to differ.
Field some calls here at the law firm during the weekend.
And maybe we're jaded because we see the side of it from lawyers calling us with problems, you know, but
clients calling us with problems.
Yeah, clients,
or their lawyers.
Or the opposing side's lawyers calling us with problems from our clients. But so we may be a little jaded there, but I think from a practical standpoint, if you're doing a lot of business activity or you have multiple properties, whatever it is, you're going to run across these issues, and you're going to want to make sure you have this protection in place so that you don't lose everything in a lawsuit. Unfortunately, the plaintiff's lawyers in the United States have made a heyday, and they make a lot of money suing people. Whether you like it or not, I don't think many of our listeners do. It's just the reality. So so to go off Mark's football analogies earlier, this show is going to be about how to put on a strong defense. Okay. Ooh, strong defense. That's like what the corporate bell is all about.
Yeah. I like it. Defense wins games.
That's right.
That's right. And, okay. So that's the topic for the show. Of course, those that are regular listeners know that we'll be getting into that topic in depth a little later. We love to go over a few tips and questions and different things that we've had go on throughout the week. And so, without any further ado, it's my honor to introduce our my special co-host again, that's going to give us a legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, the legal tip today, I want to talk about estate tax. A lot of people have a lot of confusion about, do I pay estate tax? You know, my parents may have passed away, or you may be elderly and thinking, I want my estate to pass on. And these questions come up.
Or now it could be the death tax, you know, or a lot of people think of it.
The death tax, yeah, depending on which political spectrum you fall under, you know, it's like Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, estate tax, death tax, you know, whatever. So in the tax code, it does call it estate tax. So I'm going to go with the technical definition and not reveal my political stripes. But this is an important issue. Now, the nice thing about this, here's the good news. It's gotten better. So this is one of the things Republicans and Democrats used to fight over all the time. And it's, you know, the exemption used to be like $1 million. So anything over $1 million that your estate passed on, you had to pay estate tax, or your estate had to pay estate tax, therefore dwindling what you could pass on to your heirs. And so that was a pretty punitive tax, because people felt like, well, I'm building this wealth, I'm doing good things, and the government's going to take half of it through this estate tax. The nice thing is the estate tax exemption was changed a few years back to a $5 million per person exemption. And it was indexed to inflation. So right now for 2015, the estate tax exemption is $5.43 million, $5,430,000. Such a huge exemption amount you can pass on to your kids or whoever your heirs are with no estate tax.
Yeah, and I think this is a great tip, Matt, and that you brought up today. And it's really, the tip is, don't stress. Because a lot of people, we get those calls, oh no, am I gonna have death tax? And my grandma died, my mom died, my spouse died, you know, I owe the government. And so take a breath. Unless you're worth more than $5 million, non-issue.
Yeah, and if you're married, what's cool is you can get, a married couple can double up this exemption and get over $10 million. So, you know, you may have $10 million, but estate tax, you know, isn't a problem you got, so. I got 10 million. How's that saying going? Whatever.
Yeah. Now, if some of you are also wondering the rate, I'll just throw it out there. 50% tax rate. So it can be very onerous and scary. And keep in mind, if your family has life insurance, a family farm, some land, things can add up quickly too. So there's just kind of a side note. But again, for 90% or maybe probably even 95% of Americans, I don't know where that threshold is, but it's pretty high, that are not going to have an issue. This is really kind of a super rich problem. But it's good for all of us to know that we're out of harm's way. So I think, yeah, good tip, man.
All right. Now, the amazing... The Magnificent. Did anybody ever introduce you as Magnificent before?
No. But I do have an important little note, Matt. I was going to tell you this morning. I got this email from just this random person that knew me from following. I shouldn't say random person. They're a follower of my newsletters and things like that. Anyway, she emailed me this morning and said, Mark, someone's using your picture on a dating website for their image. So, and she goes, it's some 51-year-old guy somewhere. And I don't want to say any more than that, but he's on a dating website. It's your photo for his profile.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, at first you're probably a little upset about that, but I was a little flattered.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, when they pull it off the website or something and like, this guy looks pretty cool, pretty hot. I mean, he can't just pull Brad Pitt's picture, right? Because everybody would know that's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, so let's just use the next best thing.
Let's use the good-looking guy that's only relatively, the kind of sort of famous, you know?
he probably wasn't shooting for famous, but, you know. Right. I wasn't using the word magnificent, but maybe hot. You know? Just throwing that out, you know.
All right. Well, so do you got a tax tip, Mark? After all this, do you have a tax tip? Let's go to the tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, without reducing my credibility any further from those prior comments, today's tip, and I'm really excited about this because many of you may be still filing your tax returns. October 15th is the final due date for any of you that file an extension. Just this week, for those listening live, you know it was the September 15th business filing deadline. So we've got a lot of concerns, you know, about making sure we don't have audit issues. And so I wanted to give a quick tip, and then maybe we'll come back to break and we'll share a couple more, because it's really an important topic for all of us, because all of us are going to file a tax return. So let me just throw out this first one here, and that is, use exact numbers. Don't round your numbers on a tax return. Whenever you say, oh, my dining was $400 for the year, that sends up a red flag with the IRS and in their system. So be careful with that. Use exact numbers on every aspect of your tax return and don't round. Okay, now that's just the precursor to maybe two or three little avoided IRS audit tips that we'll come to right after the break. So don't touch your dial, and we're going to catch you here on the Refresher Bulge in just a moment.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Mark Kohler's just giving you some tax tips. He wants to keep you out of harm's way and out of an IRS audit. So we had the first tax tip there. Don't ballpark your numbers. Use exact numbers to help avoid an audit. What else you got, Mark?
Oh, you bet. I got a whole list here. I actually was referring to my new book that was out this year called The Tax and Legal Playbook, because I have a whole chapter on how to avoid an audit. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll pull a couple out of there. So many of you may want to read that chapter in full when you get a moment. That's The Tax and Legal Playbook. You don't mind that little shameless plug, Matt, do you?
Yeah, that was not shameless. That was okay. You earned that. You earned it. It's okay.
That was certainly not shameless, a little overt. Okay, so here's the next tip. File your tax return even if you can't pay. Now, this is a really common problem, Matt. A lot of people, and some of you may be in this situation right now, you've extended your tax return and you're stressing out. How am I gonna pay my taxes that are owed? I didn't make a deposit April 15th. I'm gonna owe in October. And what happens is a lot of people will put their head in the sand and just say, you know what, I'm just not gonna file. Hopefully the IRS will go away. Maybe something mysterious will happen and I won't owe. And we just take the ostrich approach. And this is not good. If you want to trigger an audit with the IRS, this is one way to do it. This is just like going out with a new girlfriend. If you don't call her back, she's going to assume the worst. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. For you married people, it's the same thing with your husband or wife, whatever you may have, you know, it's the same concept, you know.
If you go on a business trip. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they want to hear back from you. They want to know what's going on.
Yes.
And on a regular basis for the IRS, they have deadlines. Okay. They want to know by this time period, what happened?
You better check in with me. And yeah, some of you that travel on business, you know, your spouse may be at home going, you better check in with me by 9 PM. If not, you know, we're in trouble. And of course, you know, those check-in calls happen a lot more in Vegas. So can you touch base with me every couple hours to make sure you're not in trouble? Okay, last quick tip is avoid suspicious numbers and abnormal items. For example, if you're a dentist, you better not have a high mileage because you're stuck in an office all day. But if you're a realtor, you're going to have high mileage, but very low rent or employee expenses. And the IRS knows this. When you put in your CUSIP code for your type of industry, there's going to be numbers that are typical for your industry. Stay within those ranges. Now, again, that's something you're going to figure out with your accountant as you're filing return. But anyway, there's two or three quick little tips to avoid an audit, part of this week's tax tip. So, now, Matt, I guess we jump into our question of the week.
Yeah, but now back on that last one, that was a good one. I mean, so, but if you're a realtor, you better not have a high nitrous oxide expense on your tax return too, right? I mean, it goes both ways, right? I mean, okay, the dentist, you're going to get that one. So don't worry, realtor, you don't. It's fair, okay?
Yeah, I just wonder which industry would have a high medicinal marijuana expense. You know, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, Colorado businesses, I guess. It's legal there. All right. Well, yeah. Well, we're just trying to have fun here talking about tax and legal topics. I know we're a little cheesy sometimes, but hopefully you smile every once in a while. All right. So we had the question of the week from last week was, what is the sale of home exemption? Meaning, how much money can I exempt from income when I sell my house? So if I make profit when I sell my house, how much money can I exempt from having to pay tax? This is a cool tax deduction that we're allowed to get. It only counts for our personal residence. And we had a winner write in, Mark.
Yes, we did. Now, this is Eric from Oklahoma City. And it was, you know, regular listener. Appreciate him calling in. And the answer was $250,000 if you're single, $500,000 if you're married. Now, that's not the sales price. That's your gain that you can exclude. So let's say you bought a home for 200 grand and you're in some crazy market where it's 20 years later and now it's worth, let's say, 700 grand. If you're married, you pay zero tax. It's the difference between what you bought it for and what you sold it for. You can exempt up to 250 grand a gain if you're single, 500 if married. So just a little something everybody should know, and you can do that every 2 years. You have to own the home 2 out of 5 years and you're off and running to the races.
Yeah. Own and live in it 2 out of 5 years. And then if you move out, for example, and you rent it, you just have to sell it within 3 years after moving out, because it's own it and live in it for two years out of a 5 year period, right?
That's right. Good to go.
So, yeah. Great little I'm not a CPA, but you know,
you can throw down.
I can throw down these easy ones. All right. Well, if you have a question, or excuse me, if you have an answer to our question, you can always write in with the answers. We love to get answers. We want to get more answers coming in. You can write in with those to Matt, M-A-T or M-A-R-K at kkoslawyers.com. Please write in with your answers. Now we're going to have a question for this week. And this one's one close to Mark Kohler's heart. He loves talking about healthcare and taxes. So so we're going to dive into a healthcare and taxes question, because it's that season, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it sounded a lot worse when you said it than when I say it. When I say I'd love to talk about this, it seems normal. But when you said Mark likes to talk about this, I'm like, ooh, who is that guy? That doesn't sound really nice. But okay, anyway. So this is a pre-Obamacare, pre-Affordable Care Act question, because we're coming up on the enrollment period. Folks, buckle up. This is your time of year to start getting your healthcare strategy in place for 2016. I want to repeat that. If you want to save taxes with your healthcare in 2016, this is one of the strategies where you've got to be thinking about it in the end of the year in 2015 because of that enrollment period. So here's the question. This will get your juices flowing. What plan is not a use it or lose it plan? Some of you may be familiar with that corporate plan where if you put money in throughout the year, you can pull it out for medical, but if you don't use it, you lose it. So there's three types of plans out there. There's the HSA, health savings account, the health reimbursement, HRA plan, or the FSA, flexible spending account. Which one of those accounts grows from year to year, no matter what happens? If you don't use it, you don't lose it. You get to keep building it. So, think of it for, again, the converse. Which one is not a use it or lose it plan? HSA, HRA, or FSA? And again, a big shout out to Eric last week taking the initiative to email us. He gets a copy of one of our books, either mine or Matt's. We'll get in touch with him via email to see which book he would like. And folks, don't worry about the timing here. You may be listening to this recording on Saturday or Sunday night, and or sometime later in the week. Just send us a little email and with your response, and you could very well be the winner. So exciting stuff. Now, Matt, I guess we're in our topic for the week.
Yeah. And keep in mind, if you get the correct answer and you write in and we read your answer on the air on the Refresh Your Wealth show, that's an honor in and of itself. But you also get a free copy of one or my book or Mark's book. So that's an extra little perk and incentive for you. Now, let's dive into the topic. We just have a minute here before the break, but I want to introduce it. And then we're going to jump into the topic and get into some details. So we're talking about protecting the corporate veil,
whether a corporation or an LLC.
Yeah. So this could be, I've got a corporation. Very common for small businesses to have an S corporation. It's the same corporate veil if you have a C corporation. Going to be very similar for an LLC. We're going to maybe make some distinctions as we talk about it. But this corporate veil is what protects your personal assets from the business liabilities. So if your business is out there, you're doing business, you have a lawsuit in the business, you want that liability to stay in the business. We're protecting your personal assets. It's the corporate veil that gives you that protection. When we come back after break here, we're going to go through strategies to protect the corporate veil, things not to do. We're going to dive into this topic. We'll see you back here in a few minutes on the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
All right. Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark and Matt, talking about ways to build wealth, protect assets, save taxes, and more specifically today is protecting your wealth. So if you're going to start a business, and which we love, we want all, many of our clients to find the tax benefits and wealth building benefits of owning a business. We also don't want to put our personal assets at risk. We want to protect ourselves with honoring and following procedures to get the benefit of that corporate veil, whether an LLC, a corporation. Now, Matt, I love your constant leadership on the show here to keep it practical, takeaway tips, you know? So I'm just going to throw it back at you here. I mean, what are some practical tips that you would, you know, you can meet with clients every day on these types of things? What would you say?
Okay, I want to talk about this from newbie to experienced business owner. And when we think of the newbie, I'm thinking you just started your business. This is the three tips I give someone when they start a new company. Corporation, LLC, it's the same thing. Tip number one, and you've got to do these three things. Take notes. Tip number one, keep the entity active with the state. So most states, when you set up a company, you need to keep it active with the state so it stays in good standing. If you don't, what can happen is the state can dissolve the company. So generally what this requires in most states is filing a form to the state each year to keep it active. And so that's tip number one, keep it active with the state. We're going to go through some procedures later on and how to do this and maybe bring it all together and simplify it. But I want to make sure you know what to do or what's required here to do. So keep it active with the state. Tip number two, open up a separate business bank account and hold assets of the business in the business name. For example, if you have a rental property LLC, you're going to have a bank account for the LLC that receives rental income. It's going to pay expenses for the business. It's going to own the property that's going to, you know, the rental property in the LLC. If it's an operating business, you're going to have a, let's say, an S corporation that's a restaurant, or you have other goods and services you sell. You're going to receive income in that S corporation. You're going to pay all the business expenses out of it. You're going to have payroll out of it. All those types of things, you want to have a business bank account, because we need to start identifying the business and its activities separate from you personally. The third and final thing, these are the quick business basic tips. Third thing, keep accurate corporate documents and have minutes on an annual basis. Most states require corporations to maintain an annual set of minutes. Generally, LLCs are not required by law to actually have an annual set of minutes for the company. And what minutes are is basically a record of what's happened in the business. Did the ownership change? Did significant changes in the business occur? And so you just keep a record of those on an annual basis and state, we did change things or we didn't. And that's essentially the basics of what minutes are. There's more details we may talk about, but those are three things. Keep up-to-date, accurate business records and have annual minutes. Separate your assets of the business from your personal assets. Have a bank account, title assets in the name of the business or the company, LLC, corporation, and keep your entity active with the state. Whew. Sorry about that. That was three deep strategies. Okay.
Well, three must-dos. I like the way you put that. Those three musts. Now, in the trying to keep with the, your little three tip procedure that you went with here, I'm going to go with three things not to do. Right. So you said you threw down three things to do. I'm going to give you guys three things not to do so that you get the protection of your entity. Number one, do not be a slum landlord. So if you're going to have an LLC with tenants and rentals and hold property with your LLC, if tenants call you and go, hey, I think I have mold in my basement, but my kids are licking the wall. You don't want to say lick away. You want to say, hey, let me fix that. Oh, you have asbestos flying out of your ceiling fan. Let me come fix that. Oh, the railing on the stairs going out to the patio is broken. Let me come fix that. If you're a slum landlord and you don't follow good business practices with your entity, they're going to pierce the veil. They're going to say, you owner, we're negligent. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I like that. And I think my football analogies are just going to be flying here. So it's like, being the slum landlord, it's like giving the offense like the ball 10 times for 10 yards rather than just four downs. You know, you're giving them way too many shots at you. You know, don't put yourself at risk.
keep the turnover ratio down.
Right.
Yeah. Keep those turnovers down. I like it. I like it. Now, you think Matt and I would, you know, be sponsoring some sort of fantasy football league in our office, but we actually outlaw fantasy football in our office. So much wasted time.
Right.
For at least our office. You know, it's fun. Okay. Now, for all those podcasters out there on fantasy football, you keep listening. Love it. Let your employer think you're returning emails for work. Okay. Now, all right. The second thing not to do, and that would be misrepresent, commit fraud. We alluded to this earlier at the very beginning of the show, but this, we cannot emphasize this enough. If you set up an entity and you're keeping registered with the state and you're keeping a separate bank account and you're doing your minutes and all this stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not a slum landlord, I'm doing everything. But then you go out and commit fraud or misrepresent or steal. You can't say, oh, you can't sue me, you got to just sue my entity. That's not going to fly. You got to maintain, you got to be a good citizen. So,
yeah, yeah. And I love how that one makes the list, you know, like we need to tell you that one, you know.
Yes. Yeah. What are we saying about our listeners, Matt? That's like, yeah. Yeah, sorry about that, people.
Exactly. All right. So now, if you don't want to lose all your money, don't be a bad guy.
Okay, now that I've insulted your intelligence, we'll go to number three. Thank you, Matt, for dissing on my tips. I thought that was a good tip. I guess not.
You know what? It does need to be said, because that, I think people need to understand the corporate veil is, you know, what its purpose is in legal theory. It's not to give you free reign to do whatever you want. It's to give some legal separation between what your business does and your personal assets, so your personal assets aren't at risk.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Thanks for bringing us back. Now, number three is a little more innocent, and this affects all of you. No one out there stealing. And that is, don't use your own name on any of your agreements, contracts, lease agreements. If you're going to set up this entity, freaking use it, you know, put that LLC name on the title to the property, on the lease. We've got a paralegal at our office that can help transfer title into your LLC. Don't worry about the due on sale clause. If you're the 100% owner of the property and the LLC when the deal's done, there's all sorts of exemptions and mortgages. We've never have a client deal with the due on sale clause. Get that property out of your name. Put the name of the company on the lease agreement. If you're going to do a vendor agreement or a contract with someone, don't use your name. You got to use the company name. Critical.
Yeah, I like that. And that's one, I think, for a lot of new businesses in particular that start up, they fall into this one. I've had some clients hurt on this where, you know, let's say it's a, I had a client with a retail store that opened up in a strip mall. They had an S corporation. And they signed the lease in the S corporation's name, which was good. So the tenant on the commercial lease was the business, but they made a personal guarantee on it. So they personally guaranteed it because the landlord of the property said, "You're a new business. How do I know you're going to make it?" And they didn't really negotiate hard on that. They're just like, "Oh, fine, whatever. I'll just sign it." And they had kind of a misunderstanding that their corporation was going to help them there. Well, if you put the corporate name on the document, like a lease or an agreement here, but then you personally guarantee it, you're personally putting your assets at risk. I think most people understand that, but try and avoid doing that and having to personally guarantee things. Try and negotiate that it's for the business and just keep the business's name on it. It helps protect your personal liabilities, because this client ended up having to pay a lot of money personally because the business had some failures to get out of this lease.
Well, great example. I like it. We should have brought an example. You know, that wasn't even queued up. Matt, share an example at this point. You just came with that. You just, you know,
it's free flow, you know, free flow.
I love that. All right. Right on it. Okay. Now I want to throw out something here that is important. It just came to mind too, is that kind of changing this up a little is there's a lot of scammers out there that will try to take advantage of your efforts here. And it's very common that you're going to get inundated once you set up a new entity with mail from all these fraudsters out there that say, oh, do your company maintenance with me now, or else you're going to lose your registration with the state. And they'll put official looking seals from the state, and they'll say, pay this or your entity is going to get dissolved. And there's a lot of crap that you're going to get in the mail where people out there, companies are trying to take advantage of you and force you into paying for fees you don't need to pay for. You need your annual fee to the state. You need your minutes and that sort of thing. But watch out if you get any suspicious mail regarding the maintenance of your entity. It happens a lot.
Yeah. And so are we going to talk about company maintenance yet?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, we should. Maybe right after break. We got a break coming here. And I just want to throw out, too, that if you do get suspicious mail, we have paralegals at our office that can look at it, assess it quickly, and go, oh, yeah, this is legit or it's not. And anybody out there that has an entity, you should have that resource, your local law firm, your law firm around the country, wherever it is, and we can provide that help. So just be able to turn to someone and see if something is a fraud or not is very, very important. Okay, so right after the break, we're going to come back with some, again, steps for company maintenance things you need to be doing that'll help bring it all together. So thanks for listening here to the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
You're listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Welcome back. Thanks for being with us and tuning in. We're talking about protecting the corporate veil, making sure that your business liabilities stay with your business and you can keep your personal assets protected and separate. What we're talking about today, we've been summarizing things to do and not do. And I want to talk about maybe a couple ways and resources to bring it together. And one thing that some law firms will provide, ours does on a very affordable basis, is something called company maintenance. And generally, it's think of it like your CPA that you talk to every year in your business. That's like, you got to check in with them. And we were talking about, you know, the IRS wants to know certain things every year, what, you know, what's happening. You got to check in with them. This is the same for your entity. Okay. The state wants to know, hey, are you still in business? Is your entity still active? And a lot of states make you file something each year and pay a fee to keep it active. Also, we want to make sure you're keeping up-to-date corporate records and minutes. And that's a requirement that helps you to show if you ever are sued that, hey, I treated this business like a real business. You can't get my personal assets in the mix. Here's my corporate records. Here's my state renewals I've been doing. I'm active. And if you're trying to sue me, you're not going to get there. And the courts are going to agree if you're doing these things. So that service that we provide, we call it company maintenance program. And we'll help you do those annual minutes, file your renewals in your state or states if you're in multiple states to keep that entity active, to keep the corporate veil protected. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of people are like, yeah, I want to do that. But when you're signed up with us, we have paralegals and we have thousands of companies we do this for clients. We have paralegals tracking this for you, following up, reminding you, here's your deadline. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I think it's one of those things a lot of business owners kind of put to the wayside and forget about. But when you're on our program, we're on the ball, tracking it for you. We're making sure it happens.
No, great, great point. And again, back on this fraudster issue and scammers, it is so sad for Matt and I, how many people we see that go out and set up an entity in Nevada or Wyoming or Delaware, and maybe they shouldn't have been so quick to pull the trigger on an entity in one of those states. Not that they're bad states. Again, we've had other shows on that topic, but a lot of newbies out there will say, oh, and some of you out there that are veteran business owners, you may have an entity in the wrong state. You know, this is something to review with your attorney and once a year and see, you know, is this really where I need to be registered? Is it helping me or is it not? Again, check out some of our other shows in the history here on that topic. But what'll happen to are scammers and fraudsters that'll say, oh yeah, do your company maintenance with us. Bulletproof protect your entity. And they're going to charge $1,200 a year, $1,000 a year. You'd be astonished what we see out there. And people think, oh, that's just the way it is. It is not. And it is really, really sad. Our fee's $150 a year. I mean, very, very affordable. And again, this is not an infomercial today, but it's just to give you some perspective so that as you're out there doing your company maintenance, you can go, okay, well, this is what KKOS Lawyers is charging. That's what I should be looking for as a similar cost. And again, some of you are anal, you're engineers, we know you're out there, and you're going to be doing this yourself because you love to do it. That's cool, you know. But for those out there that are like, I'm not going to deal with this, let me just put me on a program, find someone affordable, and be careful of those scammers out there. They're going to sell you crap you don't need.
Yeah. All right. Well, we like to go over 5-star reviews in the show. As you can catch prior shows on iTunes. Keep in mind, you can always listen to the show live at biztalkradio.com or via the BizTalk Radio app. Prior shows are on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. And that's a great place to give us feedback and 5-star reviews. That's the only reviews you can give us on iTunes that are 5-star reviews.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah.
So if you have some critical feedback, you can email them confidentially to us. Don't post it on iTunes. But we got a 5-star review in from Dennis Mark on the show. And I'll let you read it. It's makes it sound kind of cool.
Yeah. Dennis, I want to say thank you. And again, for anybody that we're going to pick randomly each week, a 5-star review from iTunes and give them a copy of either one of our books, their choice. And so, I see there in my review, I'd like to receive Mark's new book, Tax and Legal Playbook. So sorry, Matt, just throwing that out.
It's a great book. It's a great book.
Thanks. I'll let Matt sign it for you, Dennis. So it'll increase the value. So he's right here in our office today. In fact, I should say this. This is kind of an exciting show for us because we're recording live physically together. Sometimes we're in our remote offices doing the show, and sometimes we're together. Today's one of those live days, and a nice little chemistry, you know?
Yeah, I like it. The sparks are flying here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so Dennis, back to Dennis's review. His title is, I'm addicted to this podcast. Oh, Dennis, love that. He says, I look forward to hearing what new topics and tips Mark and Matt, along with their entourage of experts, will enlighten me with each Thursday. They share the ability to take complex tax and legal subject matters and break them down into terms that the average person can understand, not to mention their pithy, I like that, pithy commentary and witty humor. Maybe are you the pithy one and I'm the witty one, or am I pithy? I don't even know if I can define pithy. I like that, Dennis. Their show is truly educational as well as entertaining. Well, Dennis, thank you so much. You will be receiving a copy of my book with Matt's signature, and you're awesome, dude. That's great. Thank you so much, folks. We'd love to give you a book as well.
Yeah, so go on to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Appreciate that, Dennis. And you know, we're trying. It's hard as lawyers, as I do like to remind people. Mark's also a CPA, so it's even really hard for him. So it's hard to do a show and be entertaining. But we love this stuff. We really love and have a passion for these topics and what we do. And we like talking about it and teaching it and being a little different. You know, I think a lot of people talk to their lawyer and they're just like grumpy people. They're like, don't do that. No, no, no. And they don't find solutions and help you understand things. And that's what we're trying to do on this show is bring solutions to you and make things easy to understand. Even if I have to throw in a dumb football analogy, you know, because that's how I learn stuff. It helps.
I thought those were good, Matt. I thought those were good. Well, hey, in our final minute, I want to take us out with, if I could, Matt, if you'll indulge me, with our weekly message for the week. If many of you are listeners, if you haven't already, you can sign up for our newsletter by going to refreshyourwealth.com, get our free ebooks when you do that. Every Tuesday, we send out a newsletter and announce the show for the week. Well, this week's message was about taking bite-sized pieces at your plans for tax and legal and financial wealth building. We have meet with a lot of clients that feel very, very overwhelmed when these topics come up. And we know that we're preaching to the choir with those listening to the show. But here's my suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed. Take little bits, bite-sized pieces, one a day at a time. Set some goals, one a month to accomplish, and we'll be there with you. Right here every week on the show, trying to help you accomplish your goals. So don't give up. Keep living the dream. Don't be overwhelmed and just take one step at a time, and you're going to be there before you know it. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next Thursday on another episode of the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.